Steve, you have been a longtime businessman in Albuquerque. You got really involved in New Mexico politics. We kind of go over this every time you're on the show, but I want people to really understand that you just love New Mexico.
I do.
And you have a great expertise in rebranding things, and if there's a place that needs to be rebranded, it is New Mexico. and we've joked about it. I mean, when you talk about New Mexico, 20 years ago, people didn't know it was a state.
That's still true in a lot of ways.
And then, of course, you talk to anybody in the last 8 to 10 years, they think that this is the methamphetamine capital of the world based on a
very effective branding, unintentional branding strategy,
right,
of the number one TV show.
But the brand that we really need to build, and you know this because you've traveled extensively throughout the state, is we have, if not the most beautiful place to live in the country, at least in the top two or three, because we have mountains and deserts and rain, snow, sun. I mean, we have everything.
Well, that's the mystery. From a tourism standpoint, New Mexico actually does have a very good reputation because it's magnificent. Mm-hmm. But given that, why are we still so economically down?
Well, and these are questions that we've talked about. We've talked about, for example, why are we last on so many lists?
Yes.
The bad lists. Why are we rated so low? You know, our education is rated low in the state. We're low in, not just education, but, crime. We're at the top of the bad list.
Crime is high. Education is low. Income is low. And the biggest problems that nobody talks about, perhaps we could do a show on this, is we're losing our kids. We're losing our young adults who are the ones that have kids.
Negative growth in the state.
So we have the same problem in New Mexico that China and Japan have, which is, and you know, because China's one child policy, which is really unusual, and it's our own fault. Mm. It's our own fault. You know why? Because of politics. We should talk about that.
And that's what we're talking about today. You have done an extensive amount of research about politics in our state, how the processes have worked, who's been running, who's voting for what. And we're not here today to criticize Democrats or Republicans. What we're trying to do is talk to people that are Christians and say, why don't you get involved in politics?
That's right. And I can hear them turning off the radio now.
And Steve, in some ways, that's like asking people to get involved with chemotherapy voluntarily.
Yeah.
Because that's a tough deal.
It's a tough deal. Politics is ugly. You know, we see it all the time on the TV and in the news. I mean, look what's going on now with the impeachment hearing. It's just ugly.
Yeah.
And a lot of believers think, one, it's just something you kind of want to shy away from. It is like, you know, a car wreck or something. It's messy. But then there is some truth to why a lot of believers don't want to get involved in politics. And that's because it's not the answer. I mean, the answer is revival, right? The answer is the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
And that is our highest calling. And that is, you know, people's eternal destiny is where it's all at. So it's easy to say that's a temporal, worldly thing. I'm going to focus on, you know, preaching the gospel and spreading the good news and evangelism. And I would say, if you're doing that, good.
Right.
But a lot of people sort of just say that.
Steve, we honor first responders, you know, our military, our police, our fire department, and others. And we always admire because they run to the gunfire.
Mm-hmm.
They run into the fire.
They get their hands dirty.
They do.
And they do.
You're actually calling people to do the same thing here, because despite all of the negativity that we see in politics right now, we need leadership.
We do. And it's just like, you know, Hollywood. We complain about Hollywood, and we complain about Madison Avenue. We complain about culture, and we complain about politics. And so what we've done is, by abdicating those fields to other people, we get more of what we don't like. So, yeah, politics is ugly and dirty and nasty, and it's getting worse, it seems like. So what that calls for is for regeneration. It calls for people who have different principles to enter the field, and that not to run away from it.
Yeah.
And because it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. It's only going to get worse. We are salt and light, right? It's only going to get worse if we don't get involved.
So one of the strategies of dissent rhetoric, or I'll even say spiritually, the enemy, he changes the meaning of words. So we really need to back up, as you've put down on your little list of things today that we're going to be talking about, define politics for us so we all are on the same page.
Yeah, that is an important place to start, because people, when you say politics, they think politicians, for one. And they think lies, and they think whatever. But politics, it's actually an ancient concept. It goes back to ancient Greece. And really what politics refers to is how we live together, how human beings organize their affairs. And so if you're part of a neighborhood association, that's politics.
Mm-hmm.
If you're part of a PTA, that's politics. Frankly, if you're part of a church, all churches have government. They have church government. That's politics. A family is organized according to certain rules and agreements and regulations. That's politics. So broadly speaking, politics is...
Are there politics at McKee Walworth?
There's no politics. No, it's a dictatorship.
Okay.
Actually, it's a really good question. That might be a topic for another show because we've managed that really, really well, our corporate culture. But we probably shouldn't get into that. The point is, Christian, you're involved in politics. There's no choice. If you interact with other people, you are involved with politics. The only question is, do you want to give people power over you without speaking into that? Or do you want to have something to say about the decisions that get made on behalf of you and your family and the people you love? That's really the choice.
You know, a lot of times I think that people are trying to be kind. Mm-hmm. So they feel like if they enter the field, they have to get involved in the ugliness.
Yeah.
But I also sit back and I look at the way the Old Testament describes a warrior. It's not somebody that just goes out there and kills people indiscriminately. The warrior is really someone that is protecting.
Yes.
You know, families and communities, and evil comes and they have to do things to protect the people God's gave them to protect.
They do. And it can be, there is conflict involved in politics, but that doesn't mean, and we could talk about this. There's the way not to do it, which we see all over the place. And then there's the way to do it. That's another thing we can bring to the process as believers is the fruit of the Spirit. Right. We can bring love and kindness and patience and certainly perseverance and all those things to it. So it doesn't mean that, if you were interested in directing Hollywood movies, that doesn't mean you have to direct slasher films, right?
Right.
If you get involved in politics, you don't have to be a political slasher. You know,
yeah.
You can, and in fact, I actually think that our culture is crying for people to get back to the, as Lincoln said, the better angels of our nature, to our better principles. I saw some research recently that asked people who they wish was president today, which is pretty fascinating.
Mm.
And the three names that rose to the top were Kennedy, Lincoln, and Reagan.
Mm.
And what do those three have in common? I mean, they were all fallible, fallen men.
Sure.
But they elevated it. They elevated the discussion. People believed, you know, they brought us to a better place. Morning in America, Ronald Reagan was famous for. And I think that things have gotten so bad that voters are hungry for positivity. That doesn't mean weakness.
No.
But doing it the right way.
Steve McKee in studio with us this afternoon on ABQ Connect, and we are talking about asking Christians to get involved in politics and why they're not and why they should. So lots more with Steve. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Is there something about your house that chills you? Are there strange sounds coming from your furnace? When darkness falls, do your pipes clank and moan? Whatever it is, give the guys at Bosca Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing a call at 444-7200. Their friendly service professionals are ready to bust even the scariest of home HVAC issues. Just dial Bosque at 444-7200. That's 444-7200.
Hi, this is Ava.
And this is Stella from Monroe's.
And this is Grandpa Miguel. And from my family to your family, we want to wish you a very happy Thanksgiving.
And be sure to come visit us at our new location on 4th and Mountain this December.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
God does not gamble with prophecy. Skip Heitzik reminds, it is a sure thing.
You see, God is so sure about what he does that he will announce what he's going to do in advance and then layer it with detail upon detail so that the odds of that ever happening have been exponentially decreased.
There are over 300 prophecies concerning Jesus Christ in the Old Testament, and the track record? A remarkable 100%.
There's no way to explain the Bible's ability to predict the future unless we see God as the author.
Get the Skip Heitzik podcast on your mobile device. Now this logical deduction.
A God this detailed, this precise, this good at what he does, do you think he can handle your family, your future, your medical troubles, all the stuff, the relationships that you freak out about? Do you think the safest place is to put him in his hands and to leave them there?
You're
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Steve McKee in studio with us. He's been with us a number of times over the past year. And, Steve, we appreciate you very much coming in, talking to us about politics. And, you know, it's hard for both the Democratic Party and the Republican Party to recruit people, new blood, if you will, to politics. But before we talk about a lot about that, you know, you and I go back a long ways. I remember the first time I was in the pulpit at Calvary Albuquerque, you were kind enough to actually go get the cassette tape, which kind of dates it, right? And then you gave me some really nice feedback. You wrote me a note and said that you were blessed and encouraged, and I've always appreciated that about you very much. You're an encourager, and I know the people that you're going to encourage to get involved in politics are going to feel exactly the same way, but they're going to want to throw something at you
they
get involved. Hey, Wendy Miner, the artistic director for Christmas Joy, was visiting with us on Monday. And Christmas Joy is a ballet presentation of the birth of Christ. It's held at the National Hispanic Cultural Center, December 14th and 15th. Two shows on Saturday, one on Sunday. And Steve, I am talking about this because you and I spent a lot of years backstage.
Many years.
And it was fun, wasn't it?
Yeah. My two girls were in Christmas Joy. I don't know. Probably 20 years of altogether.
Yeah.
It was it was really remarkable. And I would just say to the listeners, don't believe what your perceptions might be. This is really high quality stuff. This will bless your socks off.
I'm not going to be as nice. You grouchy guys out there that have no culture, that like to sit on the couch and watch the game, you need to go buy tickets for you and your wife to go to Christmas Joy because it is spectacularly beautiful.
Yes.
The music is amazing. It's literally a worship experience.
Oh, you can't come out of there feeling anything but blessed.
It's so cool.
It's really cool.
And plus you can tell people that you went to the ballet, so now you have some culture. That's great. I love it. Well, again, want to, you know, just let everybody know from personal experience, both Steve and I, it's a great show. It's a great ministry. When you can take a 7-year-old child and they are striving for excellence, you know, I don't want anybody to be bugged by that. They're pressured by their desire to be good and to admit and to live up to a standard. I mean, it's amazing. It's fabulous to see what these kids do, and they accomplish it.
They
absolutely
do.
So,
and can I throw in a prop to the many-year producer of the show, Denise McKee?
You may.
She did a magnificent job.
Yeah, and Denise is still involved in dance over at Magnify with Wendy Miner. So, yeah, dance, of course, we had our boys playing basketball and other sports, and the girls were dancing, and, wow, what a special time. So, great memories. Steve, you're gracious to be here with us, and we're now trying to appeal to Christians to say, why should you get involved in politics? Is there an affirmative reason why Christians should be involved, Steve?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. If you look at the rules by which we agree to live, we actually have a duty. I believe we have an obligation to get involved in politics. There are a few biblical passages that deal with it directly. In Romans chapter 13, Paul talks about the sword and the administration of justice, that we should respect the governing authorities. And the idea in there is, whether it's the speed limits we set for our streets or the laws against murder, abortion, capital punishment, which is a controversial subject for people, or how much tax money we can take from families and businesses, all those things have real effect on real people's lives. Mm. And if we abdicate that, first of all, we have an obligation to vote, certainly, all of us who are to be informed and to vote. Not all of us are called to go beyond that, but some people are. And I would just say this is always fun to do. There's somebody listening to the show that's feeling the prick of the Holy Spirit here to get involved. And I would just say, listen to that. I would just say, listen to it. Don't stuff it. Don't deny it. Let it work in you, because some people are called to get involved. And, you know, as we say, God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called.
That's right. Now, so Steve, if you feel that, do you call the state Republican Party and the state Democratic Party?
You can do that, or you can contact me. One of the things that I'm doing, my role for the moment is to be I sort of think of it as a force multiplier. I'm just trying to get more of us doing stuff, you know, and some people might be called to run for office. I certainly hope they are. Others might be volunteers. Others might write letters to the editor. And I'd be happy to be a resource to hook people up with that stuff. But yeah, if you're a Democrat, get involved with the party. If you're a Republican, get involved with the party. Investigate what those parties believe, of course.
Right.
But there's no shortage of ways. You will be welcomed with open arms.
There is a perfect party, of course, right?
There is a perfect party. It's the Steve McKee's political philosophy party. It only has one member, but it's kind of like the perfect church, right?
Right. I remember Skip Heitzig teaching from the pulpit a couple of times. If you're looking for the perfect church, when you find it, don't walk in the door, because right. then it will no longer be the perfect church.
That's the beautiful thing about politics, is we are iron sharpens iron, right? We rub off on each other. We create sparks, but together we come to conclusions of how we agree to live together. If you are alone on a desert island, there's no need for government. Mm. If you have one other person there with you, you're probably just going to agree and disagree. But if you have 3 or 13 or 30 or 33, you're going to have some form of representative government, or you're going to have anarchy.
Right. Steve, why does it seem less Christian to be involved in politics than serving in, say, a homeless shelter?
Yeah. doesn't it, though? Let me answer your question with a question.
Okay.
One of these things is not like the other. Okay?
You got it.
Serving in an orphanage, volunteering at a hospital, feeding the homeless, ministering in a prison, helping domestic violence victims, rehabbing drug addicts, or running for political office. One of these things is not like the other. It's kind of obvious that it's running for political office, but not for the reason that you think. If we were sitting here talking about a new hospital that we were launching or an orphanage that we were expanding, it would feel very appropriate for a Christian radio station.
Yes.
Talking about politics somehow feels like not appropriate. Right. But let me submit to you that of those things I just mentioned, there's only one of those that can affect all the others. Mm. And that's politics. We can affect how orphans are treated. We can affect how we deal with people who are addicted to drugs and keeping people from becoming addicted to drugs. We can affect homelessness. We can affect crime. You can affect so many things through politics. So it really is. It is a force multiplier if you look at it that way.
Mm. Steve, when you look at a political party, and I was teasing earlier, not really teasing, but is there a perfect party? So obviously, we feel, I know you agree with this, that abortion is not something we would be pro-life in our approach. We feel that's a biblical mandate. But it seems like neither party now is really pro-life, that there's all kinds of exceptions. And then there's a lot of emphasis on, hey, you can pretty much do whatever you want. That's a woman's right. So there's all this dialogue out there. But then you've got a party that wants to have health care for everybody, and another party that, well, we don't want to pay for everybody's health care, so we think you ought to earn it. I mean, there's just different ways to speak everything, and I'm not trying to point the finger at anybody, but I'm trying to say, okay, as a Christian in the midst of all this, you're not going to be able to find the perfect party.
No, you're not. One of our problems is we don't differentiate between ends and means. Mm. And what I would suggest by that is I think almost everyone agrees on the ends, that we want more prosperity for everyone. We want everybody to have good health care. We want babies to be loved and born. And almost everybody agrees on the ends. We disagree vehemently on the means. Mm-hmm. And some of that's okay. I will argue with you all day long about the tax code, for example, and how taxes are incentives. And we can look at economics and have that argument. Is it a moral argument? I don't know so much. You get to certain things like marriage or abortion, children, and it, you know, there is a moral argument there. But you talk about political parties. What are political parties? They're compilations of political people.
Mm-hmm.
So get involved with a political party and change it. You know, the more of us who get involved with a party, we can affect that party's platform and take our world and our culture in a more positive direction.
We are talking about Christians being involved in politics this afternoon on ABQ Connect. I hope you'll stay with us. More with Steve McKee right after these messages.
Hi, I'm Ben Lucero, president and owner of Indigo Mortgage, and we are your true locally owned and operated VA mortgage broker. As a broker, we have helped many veterans get into homes with little or no money out of pocket. This is done by lender credits, It works like this. Our rate is consistently a quarter to three quarters of a percent lower than other lenders in New Mexico. If we just match the rate of other lenders, we won't keep the profit on the higher rate. We turn that money over to the veteran. These lender credits can save the veteran thousands of dollars in closing costs. There is no reason lenders should be charging such high rates on VA loans. So I encourage all veterans looking to purchase or refinance to shop that mortgage around. Don't take a higher rate if you don't need to. And if you do, let us pay your closing costs. Call Indigo Mortgage at 836-5700. That's 836-5700 or on the net at indigomortgage.net. NMLS 188-34.
Since 1970, Albuquerque Christian Children's Home has been providing a loving Christian home environment for children who are homeless, hurting, or at risk through no fault of their own. We accept these children without regard for their race, religion, culture, or social status, and care for them without any cost to the family member or the state. Our goal is to always show them the love of God through the care and dedication of the ACCH staff. For more information, go to our website at acch4kids.org or call 898-5520. Since 1970, Albuquerque Christian Children's Home has been providing a safe, loving home for children who have had so little and need so much. We feed, clothe, house, and share God's love with the children who have been missing those necessities in their young lives. There's no charge for the care at ACCH, and children can stay with us as long as they need our help. You can help by making a secured, tax-deductible donation today at acchkids.org or by calling 898-5520. And thank you for blessing the children.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Business owner, author, dad, and political commentator Steve McKee in studio with us this afternoon from the Power Ford Studios, Faith Family Ford, Power Ford. Steve, thanks for joining us. And we're talking about politics and should Christians get involved with politics. You've already defined politics as the method we... the process of living together,
yeah.
Really.
So you're involved.
So you're involved whether you want to or not, right. And whether you want to take a leadership position is really...
Or whether you want to abdicate your responsibility.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah. Well, people are always citing scripture, talking about render to Caesar what is Caesar's and unto God what is God's, yeah. As a way of avoiding the subject.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is politics mentioned in the Bible, Steve?
It's all over the Bible. Yeah. Pastor Skip is famous for having pointed out that the word rapture is not in the Bible.
Yeah.
But the concept is. Mm-hmm. You know, Jesus didn't do a dissertation on politics, but it's all over. If you look at the major characters of the Old Testament, Joseph, right, he was number two in the world.
Mm-hmm.
He rose to become the number two ruler in the world, and it was his wisdom that saved lives from famine, right?
Sure.
Daniel was captured. He was a prisoner. He was in exile, and yet he rose to a position of prominence in that country because that's what he was called to do. Jeremiah says, "Seek the welfare of your city." You know, First Timothy says, "Pray for your leaders." It's really all over. You can't if you look at the scripture through the lens of how people are living together. You can't get away from politics. It's just everywhere. If you look at the history of the nation of Israel. It is largely demarcated by the difference between good kings and bad kings, right? Mm-hmm. Bad king at the top, things went badly. Good king at the top, things went well. So it's all over the scripture. And there's something funny about that render under Caesar what is Caesar's that people don't really realize. And I would ask a question, ask listeners to consider this in their own head. In America, who is Caesar?
Who is Caesar? Well,
we don't have a king.
No, we don't. So would you say the president?
Nope. The ultimate ruler in America. We are a country of the people, by the people, and for the people. You are Caesar, and I am Caesar. Mm. Collectively, we are Caesar.
Mm.
So render unto Caesar what is Caesar's. It is our opportunity. It's our obligation. It's our stewardship to govern ourselves. We are Caesar. So we need to take Jesus' words very seriously.
Steve, in your description of this, you've alluded to something that I think we all miss. The people in the Bible that you've mentioned that attained leadership, for example, Joseph, totally elevated to that position by God.
Yes.
And we forget that the people that are in elected office, even if we completely disagree with them, they're placed there by God. They've been allowed to be in that position. they have all kinds of opportunities to do what he wants or not do what he wants, which is the same opportunity we have in our own lives. Mm-hmm. It's just that when they make statements, when they make decisions, it affects all of us. So I guess what I'm asking for is not, we shouldn't just disagree. We should pray for our leaders.
Absolutely.
Even if we disagree with them.
Especially if we disagree with them, because they are our leaders. Now, we're called to obey the governing authorities insofar as we don't disobey the higher law, which is God's law. But I would say to you, Christian, why don't we just make it easier on ourselves and try to ensure that the governing authorities are in line with God's law, right?
Right.
Because there will be a lot less death. There will be a lot less pain. There will be a lot less heartbreak. There will be a lot less poverty, less domestic violence, less suicide, all the things we were talking about earlier, if we have good rulers. And if our good rulers come from people who have the proper worldview, which we believe is the biblical worldview.
Mm, absolutely. What does the blessing of being born in America mean in regard to our involvement with politics?
Yeah, it kind of gets harkens back to what we were just saying. In America, we have been given a rather unusual birthright. I would say this is true of all democratic republic sort of countries, right? Democracy writ large. We are called to govern ourselves. It's a wonderful gift. In Old Testament times, back in the days of Greece or Rome or ancient Babylon, you know, there was a king or there was a Caesar, and they lopped off your head if they wanted. There's an old Latin term called rex lex, which means the king is the law. In America, the term is lex rex. The law is king. That's fundamentally different. So we have been given such a birthright, those of us who have been blessed to be born in America, and we really do spin on it by not exercising our proper role in stewardship to at least vote. At least. That's the basis. That's the very beginning.
You know, when you look at the history of slavery in our country and an entire race of people not allowed to vote, but made to work and do all kinds of things at the behest of, you know, masters and things. I can't even imagine how painful that had to have been on many families, being divided, having, you know, somebody else control your life. And finally, a lot of those things have changed in our country, and now there is a right to vote. But when you look at the numbers, for example, of blacks or Hispanics or whites or any other race the number of people that are voting is a pretty low percentage.
Very low. We take it for granted. We do take it for granted, and that's a shame. I also think it's a shame when people say, you know, only vote, because I think it's very important to be informed. Mm. And we all know that we live in a consumer culture these days, and politicians are very good at manipulating emotions and twisting things. And to pull the handle for a political party, either one, is pretty irresponsible. You really need to be educated. And you need to educate yourself. However, and we've talked about this before, it's not that difficult. If there's an election coming up, take an hour. Take an hour. There's plenty of resources online. You can educate yourself about the candidates.
Well, and I'd like to review some of those, and you're familiar with all of them. For example, we've had Paul Gessing from the Rio Grande Foundation on. Paul has really a conservative leaning in the foundation, but they are trying to be bipartisan. They attack both parties equally, and there's good ideas and there's bad ideas. Mm-hmm. It's not unlike business, mm-hmm. Steve. I mean, is every concept that you've come up with at McKee Wallwork, have those all been gems, or do you have to make adjustments sometimes?
Many of them. No, we're imperfect beings. You're right. But it's when you prayerfully consider for whom God would have you vote, not to mention the other levels of involvement that we need to do. And that's, to get it back to the question, a uniquely Western or American or democratic birthright.
Well, I want to, you know, we talk about we have a democratic birthright. You always hear people say, well, this is a democracy.
Yeah.
We're fighting for democracy around the world.
Pet peeve.
But the truth is we don't have a democracy.
We don't. And if you read anything about political history, democracies end in tyranny rather quickly. America is not a democracy. America is a republic. It's a democratic republic, which means we vote to elect people to represent us. And the founders created the most brilliant form of government that has yet to be seen on the face of the earth. Nothing's perfect, by putting together a republic. When they came out of the Constitutional Convention, one woman asked Benjamin Franklin, "What have you given us, sir?" And he said, "A republic, if you can keep it." Great book by Eric Metaxas that's called If You Can Keep It. Mm-hmm. But no, we're a republic, which means we're a representative democracy, which means we elect representatives to represent our viewpoints. So if we are not even voting for those representatives, if we're not volunteering to be those representatives, we're just abdicating leadership to someone else. It's kind of like, if you hired a nanny for your kids, wouldn't you want to know something about the nanny?
Oh yeah, you're going to check them out thoroughly.
Right. Well, we're electing people who are going to pass laws who might make what we believe illegal. That's coming. The First Amendment is under serious threat in America. And we need to wake up to that.
You know, I was fascinated, and we're going to talk about this when we come back. We have more with Steve McKee. I've got about 500 questions. We'll probably only get to three more of them before the end of the show, but stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hey, I need to get in shape. I'm tired of the way I feel.
Then Designer Body's world-class gym is for you. They are family-owned and operated, and their passion is to lead by example while empowering you to achieve your absolute personal best. The professionals at Designer Body's world-class gym offer gym memberships, personal training, and nutrition management in an atmosphere of fitness, faith, and fellowship. For more information, call 899-1700. That's 899-1700. Or visit us at our website, www.designerbodies.com.
When you think of Thanksgiving, you think of family. Duke City Ready Mix's core values are quality, service, community. A strong community comes from strong families. We hope and pray the time you spend with family this Thanksgiving is precious. Happy Thanksgiving from Duke City Ready.
9 out of 10 American households own a Bible, yet only 14% of adults engage with the Bible daily. The need for proper renewal is obvious in our country and in our churches. And that's exactly what we want to help you experience by sending you an encouraging resource from Lenya Heitzig called Sheology, A Quiet Time Journal. Listen to Lenya.
I know what it means to have a dry period of time with the Lord, but I know that can change. That's why I've written this Quiet Time Journal. I invite you to put it in your routine. It'll make a difference. The year 2020 can mean a new day for you.
A Quiet Time Journal has a daily Bible reading plan, a weekly prayer focus, a monthly meditation, plus space for you to journal your prayers. We'll send you a copy of Sheology as thanks for your gift today of $35 to this media ministry. Call now, 800-922-1888. Or you can give online securely at connectwithskip.com/offer.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Why Christians should run for political office is the topic of the day here on ABQ Connect. Steve McKee in studio with me. And Steve, we just started talking about this great country of ours, and people always label it a democracy, but it really is a republic.
Yes.
And the fundamentals of democracy are majority rules.
That's right.
So the small guy, the individual, doesn't get represented, can be outvoted, can be overrun.
Squashed.
And the republic is designed to protect the rights of the individual.
As is the Bill of Rights in the Constitution. Interesting history about the Constitution. James Madison, who was the primary author, didn't think we needed a Bill of Rights, which is the first 10 amendments to the Constitution, because he thought it's all there in the Constitution. And technically, he's right, that our rights are protected in the Constitution. But it was a compromise in order to ratify the Constitution that we put in, that we articulate the right to freedom of religion and free speech and the right to bear arms and so forth. And a good thing that it was, because it's the Bill of Rights that protects us from the tyranny of the majority. Mm. And so much of our rhetoric these days, and so many people say, well, if a majority of Americans believe something, that's what we should do. Well, that's fine in certain areas, but when it comes to the right of free speech, the right to bear arms, the right to life, it's not a matter of majority. And that's why most democracies end up in tyranny, because you get a majority together and they just squish the minority. The beautiful blessing of America is we've had minority protections since our founding, and we need to protect those. But there's a lot of people in office who don't recognize that anymore. The whole debate about the Electoral College is that debate. People say, and it seems like on the surface, well, why shouldn't the majority of Americans pick the president? And it's because the founders wisely set up the presidential electors were the states. Each state is a government of its own, and it's the states that elect the president, mm-hmm. not the people.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it was set up. Protects the interests of small states like New Mexico. And so if you know anything about the history and the rationale of the Electoral College. If we gave it up, New Mexico would never be paid attention to again in national electoral politics. We're just too small and right. insignificant.
Yeah. Well, I hear all kinds of history lessons, a lot of revisionist history going on right now in our schools. But questions that I never, ever heard addressed when I was being brought up in the Albuquerque public schools were things like this. You know, George Washington was so popular in his day, he could have easily said, I've decided I want to be king of America, and people would have supported that because he was...
People pressed for it, actually.
He was a magnificent leader. But he was humble before that office and said, no, I am not going to do that. We're going to be, not only am I going to serve a finite amount of time, but I'm going to spend time developing and mentoring and teaching younger people that come up to take on those offices and pass the torch. That is an amazing thing.
Yeah. Now let me make it worse for those listeners that are being convicted. Political office tends to attract people who want to elevate themselves. Mm-hmm. George Washington was a notable example of someone who stepped down from power, who refused it. We need people in office who don't need to be in office. So the less you want to run might mean the more you should.
Ah, the call of God, that still small voice.
Still small voice that says if you are humble, if you are pursuing the Lord, if you are growing in grace, if you don't want to be elevated, those are the kind of people we need. And it's sort of a contradiction, but it's actually not. One of the reasons we have the leaders we have is because the people who really want it badly are the ones that run.
Yes.
And those are the people that maybe get their rewards from a different set of behaviors than a believer who's following the dictates of conscience and the Holy Spirit would.
Well, power is something that's very intoxicating, and very we are human beings. So the fact that our forefathers were so humble before each other, and some of them were godly men, some of them were not, but they were all cared about each other more than themselves, which is obviously a biblical principle, even if they didn't believe in the Bible.
Yeah, they pledged famously in the Declaration of Independence, our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. And you made me think of something. It's the last, we always quote the beginning of the Declaration about being endowed by our Creator with inalienable rights, and we could talk about that. But in the very last paragraph, Thomas Jefferson, who wrote it, said, we appeal to the supreme judge of the world for the rectitude of our intentions. Mm. Now think about that. We appeal to the supreme judge of the world. Those are capitalized words. Mm-hmm. You know who he's referring to. Mm-hmm. For the rectitude of our intentions with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
We need people like that. Listener, if you're listening and you, I'm not saying that you're Thomas Jefferson. If you believe in our founding documents, if you believe in our founding principles, if you believe in humility and all the things that Proverbs tells us, mm-hmm. the fruit of the Spirit, boy, we need people like that to be on the school board, to run for city council, state legislature, governor, president, congressperson.
Steve, I don't know if I'm going to phrase this right, so I apologize in advance, but as I look at athletics in our country, I see athletes every year getting bigger, stronger, faster, men, women, you name it. But when I evaluate our forefathers in relation to the politicians of our day, I'm not seeing bigger, faster, stronger, smarter.
I think you're not. Part of that's just human nature. I had an interesting realization about that, though. I thought when our founding fathers, in that generation, when they had free time, mm-hmm. There wasn't a lot to do. Mm-hmm. So what did they do? They read books. They read great books. They read great books over and over and over. That's what they did. Mm-hmm. They read, wonderful old, political philosophies in the Bible, and it really sunk into who they are. Today, when we have free time, we watch movies over and over mm-hmm. and over. And I think that's really part of it. They were building brick by brick in their minds and their hearts, this edifice of excellence and political philosophy, and we're entertaining ourselves to death. Francis Schaeffer famously talked about that in his writings, including How Should We Then Live, that we're seeking personal peace and affluence, and there's so many distractions today. But there are still plenty of people who God has equipped for something like this, and I would just encourage us to maybe listen to that.
Steve, don't our institutions like the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the separation of powers protect us from what happened in, say, Nazi Germany?
They do. They do. Denise and I were in Germany a couple of years ago, and we went and saw – we went to Auschwitz, the concentration camp. Mm-hmm. And one of the tour guide, he was a terrific tour guide, and he took us on a tour of the camp, and he said he often gets the question, how did this happen? There are a lot more prisoners than guards, so why didn't the prisoners just – and the point he made was it was incremental that so let's say, for example, that the authorities came and got you and took you to a detention center. Because back then, a concentration camp didn't mean – it didn't have the connotation that it does. So they took Jim to a detention center unjustly. Well, you would probably be respectful of the guards and not do anything to get in trouble and wait for, you know, your lawyer or your family to come and get you out. Mm-hmm. And then when they didn't come and get you out, you know, they would start to make you do hard labor and you'd still try to behave yourself. And then you'd see that a couple of people did rise up and then their families got in trouble. And so the point is, it was incrementalism. We have the Constitution and we have the Bill of Rights, which are powerful institutions that would prevent such a thing from happening in America. Let me rephrase that. Would delay such a thing from happening in America. So we are much safer than they were in the Weimar Republic back in those days, but they're not perfect. And as I said, there's a lot of talk about the Second Amendment and the right to bear arms. One of the phrases about the Second Amendment is the Second Amendment is there to protect the first. The First Amendment is our right, our freedom of religion, our freedom of speech, freedom of the press, freedom of petition and assembly. They're coming after that. There is a faction of our population that is coming after that. Things when you hear things like hate speech laws, according to the Bill of Rights of the United States Constitution, there is no such thing as hate speech. We are free to say what we want. Now, there might be consequences. Somebody might punch you in the nose.
Right.
But if you try to outlaw speech, they're going to try to outlaw thought. And now we're in a world of trouble. So it could happen. It could happen here.
The wisdom of our forefathers is being questioned, and Steve McKee's here to give us some answers. Stay with us on ABQ Connect. We'll be right back.
Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets, Matthew 7:12. Hello, Scott Simpkins from Petrie Buick GMC and Petrie Kia. That's one of my favorite verses. It reminds us how to treat others, to be kind, respectful, and honest, among other things. That's a core value at Petrie. We love helping customers and always do so in the same manner we would want to be treated. If you have any automotive needs, including service, I invite you to stop by Petrie Buick GMC or Petrie Kia on Eagle Ranch Road across from the Cottonwood Mall.
Celebrate the true meaning of Christmas with the 35th anniversary production of Christmas Joy, December 14th and 15th. Tickets at nhccnm.org. A holiday tradition, dancers will inspire audiences to experience the greatest gift, the birth of our Savior. Experience the miracle. Don't miss Christmas Joy at the National Hispanic Cultural Center, December 14th and 15th. Tickets available now at nhccnm.org. Celebrate the reason for the season, Christmas Joy.
What would you do if you knew there was a place to learn step-by-step strategies designed to help you make the right moves inside the financial markets? A place to develop skills that can help you generate income and build confidence towards your retirement goals. At Online Trading Academy, we know there's an investor in all of us, and we know how to teach people just like you the skills and knowledge that could empower you to take better control of your financial future so you can spend less time worrying about life and more time living it. Start by taking our free introductory class at a location near you. Learn about the biggest mistakes investors make and how you can learn to avoid them. Plus, you'll learn strategies that could help you make your money work harder for you. For over 20 years, Online Trading Academy has been teaching students skills designed to help them learn to invest with the confidence of the pros.
Call 888-670-RSVP for two free tickets to a class in your area and receive our professional insider's kit just for attending. That's 888-670-RSVP or visit otaclass.com.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Steve McKee in studio with us this afternoon on ABQ Connect. Steve, there's an old joke that I went to a boxing match and a hockey game broke out.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of paraphrasing that into I went to a political rally and a boxing match, you know, broke out. I mean, and that's how the political parties are really getting along. They're not at all. What's going on with that?
Well, it gets back to sin, and we're tribal people, and we tend to affiliate with one side or the other, and we tend to take offense at the other side just because they don't like our side. You know, when I went to Sandia High School, Highland High School was the enemy. And then when I got to college and met a buddy who played football for Highland High School, New Mexico State was the enemy. And then when New Mexico State went to the NCAA tournament, the other leagues were the enemy. And then when you go to the Olympics, the other countries are. So it all depends on your frame of reference.
Right.
If we were involved in a vicious war right now, I think the parties would come together more. We're not. We're in a period of prosperity. And so the parties are divided. It's getting worse. But what concerns me, and this is another reason why I'm calling on us to get involved, is there is a fundamental division that is new. So back in 50 years ago, Democrats and Republicans had different opinions on what we should do, but they both shared the same basic underpinning, the same basic worldview, the Judeo-Christian worldview, whether they were Jews or Christians or not. That's what the country arose from, was immersed in. Today, that's different. So the way I see it is that there is the second line in the Declaration of Independence says, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that we are all men are created equal and endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights. If you don't believe in creation, if you don't believe in a creator, everything that comes after that goes out the window. Mm-hmm. And we are increasingly being separated into two pockets of people, those who believe in a higher authority, in natural rights, God-given rights, that the government is there to protect, and those who do not, who believe that we're an accident, that we're a cosmic accident, that there is no higher authority, and therefore we make our own rules. Those worldviews tend to be lining up with political parties, although I would say don't put your faith in any political party. Just don't. Our faith is in the Lord. But they do tend to line up, and I think that's why the division is growing greater, and I think that's why we're talking past each other. We can use the same words and mean different things.
But, Steve, you have Republicans and Democrats working in your company.
Yes.
And they're getting along.
Yes.
And they're being productive. They're
right.
Meeting the needs of your clients. They're being creative. They're going home at the end of the day and saying, boy, I really like working with all these people. You've created that kind of culture. I know we talked a little bit to Dale Armstrong of TLC Plumbing, and he's founded Viante of New Mexico. And Viante.org is a great place for people to get political information, particularly about New Mexico
unbiased,
state politics.
Unbiased, nonpartisan.
That's right. And all his concept is interesting to me. The concept of Viante is they have three areas that they believe all of us can agree on. Quality of life in New Mexico, better education, and lowering crime. Pretty simple. We should all agree on those three things. They go to the legislature, they sponsor bills, and for some unknown reason, things get sponsored and then they just die. And it's hard to explain why.
And they try to shed light on that.
And they try to, yes. And they have scorecards and all kinds of things. They're trying to hold people accountable. But the bottom line is, and I know government can't run like business, but it in some ways it should be a little bit like business.
Right, and I see where you're going with that. And I would say it can't be, but in this respect it can. I have Democrats and Republicans. We have all kinds of people working for us. I, as the co-founder of the company, am the person in authority. And so I really set the rules, but it is benevolent based. So in other words, I tolerate dissent because we have a higher calling at my company. Our higher calling is to serve our clients. Those in political power should also recognize that there's a higher calling than just crushing your enemies all the time, right? We have a higher calling with our common heritage as Americans.
Yes.
We have a higher calling that they used to say politics stops at the water's edge when we're dealing with foreign countries. That's the kind of stuff we've lost these days, and I think we need more statesmen. I mentioned the poll earlier about who people think should be president today. I actually believe that it should be George Washington, and the reason is I think we need a very strong executive, given the executive branch of government strength, who will walk away from it. I think we need someone who, like George Washington, who will come in, help us restore our original state, in our respect for the Constitution, and walk away from it, not seek more and more power and more and more power. So I wish God would raise up a George Washington. Maybe there's one listening.
You know, it's hard for me to believe that President Ronald Reagan was the former governor of California. Could Ronald Reagan run for governor in California
today?
Oh,
not a chance. No. He wouldn't win.
What's changed so dramatically?
Well, there's a whole host of things. I mean, gerrymandering, the states have begun. We've got the urban versus rural thing, and urban tends to be more blue and progressive, and rural tends to be more red and conservative. And then the parties in power, Republican or Democrat, when they, and there's a census coming up here in 2020, they gerrymander. So absent a political revolution or something really fundamental, California is just going to be blue. I was going to say Texas is just going to be red, but California is chasing off so many people. They're going to Texas.
Yes.
And so Texas now is, it's more of a jump ball, but, the more we gerrymander individual districts so that they're all red or they're all blue, it's just not good for our country.
Right. So you realign districts purposely so you get political control of them.
So that you get political division and it just becomes more entrenched.
And that doesn't seem like something that our forefathers would have thought was a good idea.
No, they didn't. And the Supreme Court just ruled that it is not unconstitutional to gerrymander. They said that's up to the people. And it's really true. We are called to self-government, which means we have a responsibility to govern ourselves, and we need to stand up and say that's not acceptable.
Well, Steve, we always talk about the silent majority, and I always wonder if the liberals have the majority or the conservatives have the majority. So we're going to talk about that when we get back. Stay with us on ABQ Connect.
You're listening to Plugged In on KNKT.
Has Elsa seemed weird to you?
She seems like Elsa.
In Disney's new Frozen 2, Queen Elsa of Arendelle is hearing a strange voice calling her to a magically sealed away forest, and it all seems to relate to her mysterious icy abilities. This much-anticipated sequel shares messages about family, friendship, and love, and deals with issues of loss, grief, and betrayal. But the movie also dabbles in pagan spiritual elements. That and some darker narrative moments could give parents pause. So, we'll give Frozen 2 a cautious 2.5 out of 5 for family friendliness. Read the detailed review at PluggedIn.com/radio. Plugging you into the movies, I'm Bob Olszewski for Focus on the Family's Plugged In Movie Review.
No matter what, your system is going to break.
Are you kidding me?
When it does, give Bosque Heating and Cooling a call.
Perfect.
That's 444-7200. Whatever it is, Bosque is just a call away. 444-7200. Yeah, that's their number. 444-7200. Or visit www.ourhouseishot.com. That's www.ourhouseishot.com.
Gonstead Physical Medicine specializes in the diagnosis and treatment of spinal ligament injury, pain in your back, neck, shoulders, arms, and legs, as well as numbness in your extremities. Dizziness and bladder or bowel issues can all be symptoms. 90% of doctors treating spinal ligament injuries don't know how to determine the severity and location of this condition. At Gonstead Physical Medicine, all of the providers are trained to do this. Schedule a consultation today at gonstead-nm.com or 505-884-8884.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
How should Christians engage in politics? That's one of the topics we're covering this afternoon on ABQ Connect. Steve, just a final segment with you. Is there a silent majority, and is it going to come down to who yells the loudest? Is that the way politics is going to work?
If we allow it to, it will. I would like to believe that there's a silent majority. And that's the problem, that we're silent. And I don't mean, you know, that term came, I think it was Richard Nixon's 72 campaign, where he used it as sort of a wedge issue, and now it's become politicized. But if you separate it from its historical interpretation, I do think the vast majority of Americans are kind. They want to get along. They respect each other's disagreements. I mean, just look, the business you do every day, you know, you talk to people. They have different politics than you, and it's not a problem. But if we remain silent, and specifically as it relates to our political involvement, it doesn't matter whether we're the majority or not. It just doesn't matter, because the vocal minority will control things. I read a study about Twitter. 80% of tweets are posted by 10% of people, of Twitter members, and something like 80% of those members post about politics. So that if you do the math, something less than 2% of Americans are causing all of the nightmares on Twitter.
Wow.
And we're allowing that to define our discourse.
Yeah.
Which is just crazy.
When are we going to get a handle on all this social media stuff?
We need to blow it up. I think Jack, I forget his last name, the founder of Twitter. Mm-hmm. Jack, if you're listening, if he said, for the sake of America, I'm going to shut this thing down,
yeah,
I would personally build a statue to him. That's the greatest thing he could do.
He's making too much money.
It's just Jack Dorsey. Thank you. It's just awful, this social media thing, but it too will correct itself. Facebook is a little bit out of control. A lot of us have done our own policing, right? Mm-hmm. Silencing people who, it'll correct itself. I'm a little less worried about that because, you know, how many more and more people are just turning it off. Just can't handle
Steve, it. You mentioned earlier, that Christians need to have respect. We need to address things from a strong position. We don't need to apologize for our beliefs, but we do need to have compassion and understanding. And when it comes down to the term free speech doesn't mean you can say whatever you want without consequences.
That's correct. It means you can say whatever you want without consequences from the government.
There you go.
Somebody might punch you in the nose and you might deserve it. But as soon as the government comes to churches and says, we're going to take, first they're going to take away your tax exempt status. Okay. And then they're going to arrest the pastor. That happened. That happens a lot around the world.
Mm-hmm.
It's happening in China right now.
Mm-hmm.
That could happen here if we don't protect those rights. And we're like the frog in the pot. Right now things are good and we feel protected and there's still people, you know, saying what we say on cable TV. But it's happening. Ever so slowly, but if you think about our children and our grandchildren, Ronald Reagan said freedom's, you know, always one generation away from extinction.
Yes.
And he's right. It's up to us to step up.
And you have to fight.
You have to fight. You don't have to fight dirty. You don't have to fight mean. Mm-hmm. But you have to stand firm.
Mm.
And fighting might simply mean fighting to win an election. It doesn't mean being mean or nasty to your opponent. It just means working really hard.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, Steve McKee, you have been doing a lot of research outside of your branding business. How do we need to brand America to make America better?
I thought you were going to say to make America great again.
Well, I didn't want to use the verbiage of our president, but
the wonderful thing about America is it's e pluribus unum. I think it's branded. We need to get back to it. E pluribus unum, Latin for out of many. One. We need to focus on unity. We need to focus on loving each other despite our differences. All the things that Jesus taught, right? If we act as Christians, following the Holy Spirit, learning and growing in Him, loving our fellow man, yet not giving in to things that would be unpleasing to the Father, that's what we're called to do.
Steve, are we responsible to share the truth and change other people's minds?
That's not up to us, is it?
I know where you're going.
We can't. We can share the truth, and we are called to share the truth, speak the truth in love.
Mm-hmm.
Truth without love is cruel. Love without the truth is even worse. And I think in America today, we're at one of two poles. We're either firebrands that are fire-breathing truth tellers without any love, and nobody's going to listen to that.
Mm-hmm.
Or we shy back, don't want to speak up, don't want to say anything, want to just love. It's a false concept of what Christianity is all about, and allow the truth to be stepped on, and that's why we are where we are. Speak the truth in love.
Well, I think you've done a great job today of encouraging Christians to get involved in politics, and I think we all need to understand that God's on the throne. We share the truth. He does the rest. He does the persuading. He does the convicting. We just need to love people, share the truth. We don't need to sugarcoat things. We need to be compassionate. We need to meet the needs of our enemies, which mm-hmm. is an interesting thing. We need to pray for our enemies. And I want to encourage everybody, no matter who the leader is, even if you disagree with them, we need to pray for them. We need to pray for God to protect them and guard their hearts and minds and give them wisdom and all of those fabulous things. Because every day, even right now while we're talking, these political leaders are going through a lot.
And our opponents are not our enemies.
Yes.
We know who our enemy is, and it's God's enemy, the devil. And we're called to stand up for all the things that Jesus represented. We're called to be like him.
Thank you, Steve McKee. Happy Thanksgiving to you and your family.
Likewise.
Thanks for joining us on ABQ Connect.
Jim Williams is a production of KNKT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KNKT. If you missed any or part of today's show, get the free podcast at abqconnect.online.